I thank you all for coming. We'll make this worthwhile. My name is Mustafa Nuruddin. I'm a program manager at Microsoft, and my colleague, Jason Issa, is also a program manager at Microsoft. I'm going to pass it on to Jason, who's going to get us through the intro and also the pChat user experience.
So our session today is titled Taking Advantage of Link Persistent Chat. We're going to be talking about the various scenarios that persistent chat enables, as well as the persistent chat from the perspective of the IT. So before we talk about persistent chat, let's take a moment to describe what pChat is all about. Persistent chat is a new technology in Link that enables you to create a chat room, invite people to this chat room, and then share and collaborate over there. You can send messages, do file transfers. What's nice about that is that each time a new person is added to that chat room, that person has the ability to see the entire communication history that the entire group members have been sharing for the past X amount of time. So the session objective is to understand the user experience and the scenarios that pChat or persistent chat delivers to the end user, and also to talk about the different capabilities that an IT person can use for pChat from the point of view of manageability, deployment, and migration. The key takeaways that we would like you to have in this session is know that persistent chat enables real-time collaboration among global teams. It's a unified experience within the Link 2013 client. And basically, there's important considerations that each IT person should consider when they're deploying persistent chat. The key pillars that we're investing in persistent chat is that it's a unified client. Now, if you deploy Link 2013, persistent chat is integrated in that client. It has its own modality. It's easy to access and use and start participating in all the scenarios that persistent chat enables for you. There is heavy integration with the server. There's server infrastructure and there's manageability as well on top of that. Persistent chat provides a platform for developers to build solutions on top of that. And we're going to show you an example later on where we have some partners building tools on top of that. And there's easy migration between previous versions of persistent chat and the new integrated persistent chat in the Link 2013 client. Different industries are using persistent chat, and they're using it in different scenarios. We have the financial services, for example, are using persistent chat to have faster response to market opportunities. You have the support centers, where they're using persistent chat to have better escalation and management of issues. And in project management, for example, they're using persistent chat to enable better communication among global teams. There are much more scenarios that persistent chat enables. I just selected a few to go over them. If you have questions later on about different scenarios, we can definitely discuss that. So now we're going to look really into the different scenarios and different features that persistent chat provide for you. We talked about seamless integration within the Link 2013 client. It provides you with instant access to all Link modalities. You can do voice, video, chat, polling, meetings, conferences, and you can customize it. You can customize the notification any way you want. If you want a pop-up, you want a toast, you want a sound to beep when some keywords are sent out or when your name is mentioned, you can also customize that. This is how persistent chat used to look like in 2010. We had two separate clients. We had the Link client, and then you had the group chat 2010 client. Now on Link 2013, it's an integrated modality, and we have here this environment for pChat. So if you click on that, you will see your entire persistent chat experience, where you can see your rooms and various notification settings that I'm going to talk about later on. So one client, you can do all of your Link communication over there. So this is your persistent chat experience. You have the list of rooms that you are a member of. You have the number of new messages that you haven't seen so far. You have these are the rooms and some topic feeds and notifications that you set up. You can search for rooms and join them if you have access for them. So it's a one-stop location where you can actually find the rooms, participate in them, and start customizing the notifications really easily. And the experience you have with chat rooms is exactly very similar or very the same experience you have with other link interactions. For example, you have the hover over menu. So this is the same experience that you have in a link contact. If you hover over them, you see that menu where you can actually follow a room, see who's managing the room, or actually open it and start participating in that room. Now we're going to talk about some of the new features that we've invested in and we actually recently shipped. Persistent chat was all about sending messages back and forth. There was no other modalities. You couldn't do a voice call, you couldn't do a voice video or collaboration meetings. That was only restricted to only two chats. So we added the new functionality, which is you can escalate a chat room into a meeting and get all the benefits of the link meeting environment that link provides us. And it's a one-click thing. So you have your room, you have three participants who are in that room. They've been sending messages back and forth. At one point, you decide, okay, I need to talk to everyone now, and we need to have a voice and a video conference. How can I do this really easily? We added this call button, and as soon as you click that call, it's going to create a meeting for you, invite everyone who's already joined to the room. It's gonna send them a meeting request and tell them you're being invited to this conference, click to accept, they will see the toast, and you can start collaborating over there. And as you see, you have all of the meeting capabilities over here. You can turn on your video, you can do your screen sharing, you can invite more people, you can also have a chat conversation with them. And the interesting thing about this feature is that as soon as you click on the, as soon as you escalate it, we will send in a message in the room that is the meeting URL. So now anyone who joins this room, then they will see this meeting URL and they will click on it and they will be automatically added over here. So it's a feature that many people have been asking for. And it brings the full power of Link into persistent chat. Another feature that we recently shipped also is file transfer. And it's as easy as doing a drag and drop. You just, any file type, you just drop it into the room environment. It will be automatically uploaded. And as it was presented today, it's also in the keynote, they talk about inline images. So it's gonna be inline file transfers. So if it's an image, you're gonna see the inline image of that, showing you also the file extension and the icon for that. And it's automatically uploaded to the server. So if people are not in the room, as soon as they join the room, they will be able to actually download that content. And this content is persistent. So if something was uploaded a month ago, they can still go there and find and download that. Can we keep questions towards the end? Thank you. Yes, and people who have access to the room will have access to download files, and as soon as someone loses access to the room, you will no longer be able to download the file. Same room security access requirements are managed for file uploads and downloads as well. So, also search. Link persistent chat, it's you have your content persistent for a long period. And if you're looking for that message that someone sent me a month ago or 6 months ago or that file that was uploaded a while back, how can you find it easily? You can, each time you scroll up in the chat environment over here, more messages are gonna be loaded so you can always go back in history. But if it's really old, how can you find it? So you have this search button. It pops up this user experience where you can specify a keyword and you can specify which room you want to search in. Do you want to limit it to this room you're currently in or to all rooms that you are currently following? So you can customize that. If you have an idea of the date and time where it was sent, then you can also filter on that. And if you know who sent it, actually, you can also filter by that. And this is a drop-down menu. It connects to AD, all the people who are all your contacts and your employee contacts, company contacts will actually appear here. So it does resolve the names for you. And as soon as you search for that, all the matching instances will appear over here. And if you click on that, it's going to open the room, and it's going to navigate to the location where your message is. so you don't have to actually scroll back. And then you can read the entire context around the messages before it, the messages after it, understand what really happened in that instance. So one of the nice features about persistent chat is that you can customize the notifications. And you can do them at a global setting, that these notifications apply to all rooms, or you can do it per room. What do I mean by notifications? Let's say if you're interested to know when someone mentions your name, then you can create a notification for that. If you're interested in knowing when someone says the word sales or forecast in any of the rooms that you're following, you can also define how you want to be notified. And the experience is pretty simple. The global settings are in the link options menu under persistent chat. You can specify how messages, how you're notified, and you can play a sound, you can show a specific pop-up that pops up with the content. Also, we treat high priority messages differently, so you can separate between regular messages and high priority messages. And this is the experience from within the link options menu. If you open the experience on the notification experience on the chat room itself, if you right click and says notification, then you see that user experience over here where you say, I want to create a topic feed. And the name of this topic feed is, let's say, my name. And then anyone who mentions that keyword over here, if you want to say anyone except me or anyone or a specific people, when my boss mentions the word Jason, I need to be notified. When someone else mentions that, that's fine. So you can actually specify who these specific people are and the keywords. And you can specify what type of notification you want. You want this to be in a new window, or you want to be, it's show me an alert, a toast, or a sound. So now these settings over here override the global settings over here. So this applies to all chat rooms that you have. But if you go to a specific chat room and you create a notification setting, then these take precedence. So how does the notification experience look like? So when someone, I created a notification saying, a topic feed that says, every time someone mentions the word presentation, I need to be notified by that. I need to see a separate pop-up, and I want to see the toast. So what happens is, this is the topic feed that's created. It has a different icon than the chat room, and it's running. So you sign into Link, and this is automatically running on all the rooms that you're following, so you don't have to do any extra step. And as soon as anyone mentions the word presentation, I am going to see a toast that shows up. And then, depending on my notification setting, I'm going to see a pop-up window that pops up and shows me the message with the highlighted word. An ego filter is it's just like a topic feed, but you're filtering based on your name or your email address or your alias. So we call it ego filter, and it has the same experience also as the topic feed. So we talked about the different experiences and scenarios that persistent chat enables and chat rooms enables for you. How do you go ahead and create a chat room? So creating a chat room, it's also really easy and simple. You can create a chat room in less than 10 seconds. In the link main UI, there is a plus button where you click on it and you say create a new chat room. It's going to launch a web user experience for you. It's a web page, simple web page with a few fields that you enter that define what your room is all about. So you provide the name of this room, some description around that room, and this is really important. You define the security settings of that room. Is it an open room? That means that anyone could search for it and join it. Is it a closed room? Basically, it's people can search for it, they can see it, but they cannot actually join or follow the room unless they are members of that room. And then you have the secret room, where even if you search for it, you will not find that room. So you really need to be invited to that room, and you'll see a notification in your link, and then you are the only person who can actually click on it and join it. If someone else searches for that room, they will not even see it in the search results. You can define categories. A category, basically, they create ethical walls. When you're creating chat rooms, you create a category A, for example, and you say only researchers belong to that room. Category B, only salespeople belong to that room. So this way, when you are adding members, only members who belong to that category, let's say the sales category, then can be added to that room. This way you can make sure that you're creating a chat room that the required people can be invited to that room and have access to that room. And then you can say, how do you need to notify people about this room? Do you want to send them an invite? So if you say yes, then as soon as you click on create that room, it's the people who are members of that room will receive an invitation, and we have an example around that. So it's really pretty easy and simple. You can really create a chat room in less than 10 seconds. And as soon as you create a chat room, the values that a chat room requires are the name, the description, what type of visibility, is it private, hidden, or open. There are two different types of chat rooms. One is auditorium, in which people who are members of that chat room, they cannot send messages, they only read messages. So you have the person who is the moderator, that person can send messages, everyone else is an attendee where they can only see the messages and not participate back and forth. We have the concept of add-in, where you can actually extend your chat room to have a kind of a browser experience at the side of it, where you can attach any document you want or point that URL to any site that you want. And as soon as you open that room, the room will extend, you will see that content over there. And this is makes it easier for people to collaborate. So let's say you have an Excel document hosted on SharePoint. You put this URL in the add-in over here. And then when you create the room, you select this Excel document. So now what happens is each time the people join the room and they open it, they see that Excel sheet, they can collaborate on that in real time together and see the updates happening instantly in front of them instead of opening another file or going to SharePoint, opening that. And so it's all a unified experience from within the chat room. You can have 10 or 50 or all the people collaborating on the same documents instantly. We talk about the other examples. Not everyone can create rooms. You have to have the room creation privilege to be able to do that. Who can join a room is also restricted by the categories that you create. You can disable the room. The person who's managing the room, they can disable that room. The room, if it's disabled, it's not deleted. You have to contact your IT admin and ask that person to actually delete the room and purge the content. If a room is disabled, you also have to contact the IT guy and ask them to enable that room. You cannot enable it yourself. And Mustafa now is going to talk about the high-level architecture and some topics related to the IT and management of persistent chat.
Thanks, Jason. So we've seen some of the updates we made on the client side, where the client experience is unified. Now, in a similar perspective, we've done unification on the server side. It used to be a completely independent server experience where you would deploy and manage group chat or Link Server 2010 group chat on the server side. With PChat 2013, it's all integrated with the same server topology. So you would not need a separate installer for PChat anymore. It connects to the same Link Server FE. So this is from a very high level architecture. You have the Link FE, the typical Link Server FE that connects to, clicked the wrong button there. The Link Server FE manages the communication to the persistent chat server role. So there's still a separate persistent chat server role, but it is managed through the main Link front end server with a PChat backend as well. I'll go through more details on that. So this is just from a high level, there's that unification on the server side, and from an IT admin perspective, it is the Link server front end that manages the communication to the backend or the PChat server and the PChat backend. Another view of this architecture. So you have here the clients connecting to a link pool and multiple pools in this case, and you have a persistent chat pool that is covering both of these link pools. So you'd have you know, you have, maybe you could have 80,000 users connecting to this pool, another 80,000 users connecting to that pool in a typical deployment, and but only have one PChat pool deployed in one data center that covers your entire user pool. Okay, so the communication from here to the pool is the same SIP protocol that's not changed, but this communication is used XCOS over SIP to communicate between the link pool and the persistent chat pool. Just more details on that topic. Basically, there is the enterprise edition topology with multiple link pools, one or more PChat pool. In this picture, there's one pool. I'll show you more details where there's multiple pools, but it's supporting, one pool can support, one PChat pool can support multiple link pools, and we can have also multiple PChat pools for HA and DR purposes. And the servers can be virtualized as well. We support SQL mirroring for high availability over a stretch pool, and we also support DR as well for PChat.
Are enterprise pools required? Can you have them standard pools?
They have to be enterprise pools. They can't be a SE, right? They have to be enterprise pools. From a planning, deployment, administration perspective, these are the steps that, you know, an IT admin would need to go through to configure PChat. First step is add the PChat pools to the topology, and you know, again, it depends on a link pool. So you have to have a link pool first, and compliance is optional. You'd add that role. Then you would deploy persistent chat server, and that's integrated into the server installer. And then you would configure and administer the you know, the users that are allowed to access PChat through RBAC, the role-based access control in Link server. And then you would configure persistent chat through the control panel and through PowerShell commandlets. I don't know if I'm going too fast. Slow me down if you need to. Or ask questions, it's okay. I know this topic, you know, covers a lot of things. So I hope it's connecting with what you're looking for. So from a policy and settings, you know, basically in a PChat, when you deploy PChat, you would enable the users for persistent chat via policy. And the scope can be global site, or service, or even a user level. So you can enable PChat for all your, you know, global sites, or for your specific site, or for a specific set of users. And the group chat, if you deploy Link server and deploy group chat, it's disabled by default. So you have to actually go and enable, explicitly enable PChat. It will not come in enabled by default. So configuration settings, these are sort of the set of commandlets, and it's set CS persistent chat configuration. There you can set the chat history, you can set the participant update limit. So for example, how many users in a room before you stop updating the room, because, you know, if let's say you have a chat room with 200 users, you don't want the presence for all these 200 users to be lively updated, because that can have a performance implication on the back end. So there you can do some configuration settings. We could say if it's over 75, stop updating the presence, or if it's over 10 or 20, whatever back end capabilities you have. And also you can set the chat history limits. So, you know, you may want to stop at 30 days. Beyond 30 days, I don't want to show history, or beyond 10 days or 2 months, whatever those limits are that work for your organization. And also, the room management URL is configured from this commandlet. You know, this is the Jason showed earlier, the configuration for the room management is enabled or is viewed from the server, and you can manage from the server as well. So key system design element, the unit of administration, the persistent chat say creates and manages the categories. It models ethical walls, which we know is super important for some of you. It's a way to aggregate rooms with similar settings, and the administrator chooses who can be a member of a room that will be created and who is allowed to create a room as well. So you can enable who can be in the room and who also can create rooms, right? And the category can have the following properties. It can have name and description, the allowed numbers, the creators, and invitations enabled, or file upload, or chat history. All these things are configured here. So this is just a snapshot of how it looks like from the server deployment perspective. Some of you who deployed Link Server are familiar with this topology builder, and as you can see, persistent chat now is a role in Link Server deployment, and right there you can create the policy, whether it's global in this case, or you can create a different scope. And this is the double click on that, where you can actually have another setting for pchat configuration, where you can set the name of this policy and the chat history here. In this example, is 30 days of chat history is kept, maximum file transfer, participant update limit. So this is where you configure it on the Link Server management tool, where you deploy Link Server and deploy pchat. Another configuration on the server side, this is the category where you can allow file upload, allow chat history, and the membership that the chat room is allowed. So this is the name, and then you can allow who can create rooms, who can participate in pchat experience. Add-ins, so they bring in textual information to enhance the room experience. They're basically a kind of an add-in that run on the side of the client experience when you enable that on the server. So you enable it on the server, but you experience it on the client. So the IT admin needs to create, to enable that or configure that for pchat. So points to a URL, typically a web page, or in most cases what I've seen, a OneNote page, where if someone participates in that room or goes to that room, they immediately, that OneNote or doc or web page would show up. So it's a client-side add-in, but it is configured on the server and can be associated with one or more chat rooms. So, you can create an add-in for multiple rooms. It has a name and a URL, basically. And here's how the experience would look like on the server. So you would basically create the name and the URL for that chat room. So some of the key IT admin questions that we get when they want to better plan for or some of the considerations when planning for pchat deployment, a set of user profiles, the users that you want enabled for pchat. Typically, it's not the entire organization. It's a set of users that you pick that are enabled for pchat, for scale reasons. Whether there are HA and DR requirements for your organization for pchat, regulatory requirements, compliance requirements, and design scopes and ethical boundaries and all those, who can create rooms, who can participate in rooms. So these are some of the IT admin considerations or key questions that should be asked before planning for pchat. Custom workflow and enforcement for creating for room creation? You know, is it anyone can create or specific people can create, etc., and what type of rooms they can create? And what interesting add-ins should you provision for the rooms? So these are some of the, you know, key planning questions. And are you migrating or deploying persistent chat for the first time? And I know some of you asked this question already. Some are most organizations that are deploying PChat come from Group Chat 2010 or Group Chat 2007 R2. So, you know, some of the considerations to look into: what is your migration plan? Do you want to migrate or do you want to start over? And, you know, the good news is that we have very simple migration tools between PChat and Group Chat and Group Chat, Group Chat 2007 and Group Chat 2010 as well. So 2007 R2 and 2010, not 2000 alone, 2007 alone. So 2007 R2 and 2010. And I think I have a slide on that as well. High availability and disaster recovery, and you know, for most IT admin, this is, you know, this is where you know, the rubber hits the road. This is where stuff starts becoming more challenging. So HA is available for PChat within the data center, and it, you know, it supports pool with up to 4 active persistent chat front end servers with SQL mirroring. And, you know, using distributed file system replication, compliance database, use the same mechanism as persistent chat content database. So there's full support for HA and DR within PChat. For DR, we use what we call a stretch pool, which is really, physically it's the same pool, but it is put into multiple data centers. So in this example, if your organization needs DR, then what we would create here, instead of a PChat pool with 4 FE, you would create a PChat pool with 8 FEs from a topology perspective. But you would locate the servers in different geolocations. So that, and some of these will be active pools and inactive pools with 50% capacity to support DR. So basically, if you have 20,000 users that you need to support, you would need 4 FEs in one pool and 4 FEs in another pool, and that would support 20,000 users failover in case of a DR, the users will be moved to the second pool. So physical machines in the pool span data centers, 50% active and 50% backup capacity is used in case of a disaster. Back-end SQL mirroring for high availability within a data center and backup database configured in the topology. SQL log shipping across data centers. So basically, you know, full DR support for PChat. And there's two scenarios that I'm going to go now through some specific scenarios, you know, DR scenarios. There is what we call geo-distributed with low bandwidth, high latency. So an example, if you have 2 data centers, one in New York and one in LA. So, you know, we call those low bandwidth sort of geo-distribution. So you have that kind of configuration. The recommended topology is to set up a stretch pool with 4 active PChat servers in one geolocation, and backup ones are inactive in the second geolocation. So site 1, link pool, 1 persistent chat pool, and machine 1 to 4 all active, and database plus mirror witness are optional, of course, for the backend. In a high bandwidth low latency model, basically, you know, the recommended topology is to set up 2 FEs in one location, another 2 FEs in another location. Basically, clients would connect to the closer ones, and in case of, you know, disaster, then it is easier to co-locate within the same data center. So for example, if there is a disaster here, if these are out, then these will pick up, and if these, and in here, if these are out, these two will pick up. So this is a, here's an example failover scenario where the entire link pool or the entire site is failed. Basically, this whole center is down. What happens here, you have to run some commanders to failover CS pool failover, and run some commanders also to failover PChat server. Basically, what happened is, these inactive FEs will pick up in here, and the clients will connect here to this one, and link pool will connect to PChat server. And another DR scenario where just PChat failed over and link pool is okay. In here also, same thing happens. The inactive, these active FEs get picked up in this location here by running the CS persistent chat failover command. So, what happens in this case, the clients will connect to the new PChat, and link pool will connect to the right PChat server. Another scenario where link pool fails, but PChat is okay. And what happens, in the same fashion, because this pool failed, the active PChat servers here connect to the new pool or the new location where link pool is, is still active. Basically also because of the, geolocation of this pool altogether. So some of the key takeaways of this stretch persistent chat pool, it's a single persistent chat pool stretched across sites that have link pool paired to DR. VLAN is not required. Lifetime of link and PChat pool is not coupled, so one can fail without the other. And geolocated data centers, again, there's different recommendation based on where the location of the data center is, but whether they're in a low bandwidth or high bandwidth or low latency and low latency scenario. So these are some of the considerations that they have to be looked into when deploying PChat server for HA and DR. And, also, the DR require admin intervention. So you have to explicitly go run and run the command to fail over PChat. It doesn't automatically pick up, so you have to actually run it explicitly. Migration, coexistence, and interop, this is easy topic. Really, we support OCS 2007 R2 and 2010 group chat migration. Legacy client, 2007 R2 and 2010 can connect to chat server 2002. You can run them side by side. So for example, if you would deploy today link server 2013 with PChat, your existing 2010 or R2 clients can now connect to PChat server. So client can connect to 13. I mean, obviously, 13 clients cannot connect to 2010 server, but, that's expected. Also, you can run Link Server 2013 with PChat 2007 R2 and 2010 servers as well. So you can have side-by-side two servers running. You can have the legacy server with the new link server, or you can have the new client connecting, the old client connecting to the new server. And, we can, Jason and I will be available later in the day at from 5 to 7 for Ask the Expert sessions. So I'll be happy to go in more details on those. I know I'm going through this one super fast, but You know, the matrix is what you expect. We support backward compatibility, but not forward compatibility for, you know, PChat client. And also we support side by side. Legacy client, so basically automatic configuration, where you can, there's two ways, automatic or manual configuration, to point legacy client to persistent chat, and also you can use PowerShell commands to create a friendly contact object representing a link 2013, you know, PChat pool. So basically there is an easy to configure sort of commandlets for clients to connect to PChat, because we understand that when you migrate to new servers, you don't migrate immediately, especially the clients take time to migrate. The clients would, some clients would need to stay on the older version until they're ready to migrate. So those, all these scenarios support seamlessly. And, you know, I had a slide on that topic also, which I can talk about it. I took it out because of the level of this session was not supposed to go into too much details, but you know, some of you asked a question and maybe relevant to others. How do you migrate from, you know, 2010 to PChat, for example? And the answer is very simple. There's two commands. One is CS persistent chat export. You export it from your 2010, and there's another command that's called CS PChat import, where you imported in 2013, and that takes care of the migration between the various versions. So it's seamless, and it's really easy to migrate the data between the you know, the various servers. So this last topic that I have is on third party integration. So you know, some of you you know, pointing out obvious misses, which is, for example, mobility. We don't have a mobile client for PChat. We don't have a Mac or Unix client for PChat. So this is where some of our partners use our platform, the capability of the platform, to go build some of these capabilities. And for this one, I'd like to mention quickly you know, MindLink. Some of the MindLink folks are here, so you can ask more questions if you want to. So, you know, with MindLink, there is a support for, you know, iOS, BlackBerry, and Android, and also for web client through on Mac and Linux. So they have, using the PChat platform, they build tools to enable you to start a PChat discussion on your desktop and be able to take it to your, you know, mobile client or web client or Mac machine.
Do you have a roadmap to catch up to that?
Of course. Timing is when, I can't answer when, but yes, I mean, you know, these are for now gaps. We obviously would like to provide these capabilities from within the software itself, and until then, we partner with third party to cover some of these gaps until we catch up.
So no 14 days, no 15 days, no days.
Exactly that. Yeah. So that's all we have. We have plenty of time extra. So you know, feel free to, you know, ask questions, and I'll start there. So first of all, I'd like to offer you a $10 Skype credit for asking a question. Sure. Good question. And you know, when also some of the highly asked questions, and I had someone also before the session starts come in and ask me about that. Federation is obviously a gap as well in PChat that has not been filled. And we are aware of that requirement, and we're, you know, I mean, it is as any other feature, you have to kind of weigh in the cost and the benefit and asks and all that. And recent surveys with our customers did not indicate that this is a blocker yet. Right? So, you know, I think we're waiting for more feedback from you, from everyone that's deploying PChat to tell us, without this feature, I will not be able to deploy PChat. And I wouldn't say until then, but, you know, there are some competing requirements that, you know, are blocking other solutions that are sort of prioritized higher. So to answer your question, it is in the roadmap. It's not right now. It's not. I cannot tell you it's going to be released in the next month or week, etc. So, but it is. You know, Jason and I, we always take it and compare it to the rest of feedback that we get from you. So, for example, we built the click to call. We built the file transfer. The next one on the list is the federation. Jason, you want to take that?
I'm more interested in kind of a high number of small rooms with a few participants, like two or three per room.
I believe that depends on the hardware that you have. Is there a maximum limit? Do you know there's a maximum limit of rooms that you can create?
It's not something you set on the server. So from just a software capability, there shouldn't be a limit to the number of rooms you can create.
Right, so basically it depends on the on how much you can scale and based on your topology, but there isn't any hard limit that you can set on the number of rooms or how many participants can be inside a specific room or not.
There was a question back there. It is not available on Link Online, obviously, today. And the future for Link Online and PChat is, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's not one of the things that we're considering right now. Basically, because of all the, you know, the security and compliance and all around PChat and, you know, the environment that it's set in. For online, we have a great solution that Microsoft acquired, which is Yammer, and we're not sure yet if Yammer is not for an online customer if Yammer does or does not fill the gap yet. So until we figure out that story for online, right now, I don't have any plans to take PChat online today. So once we figure that out, once we figure out is Yammer enough or not, then we'll see what we do about online. Thanks. For now, it's an on-prem only.
So the plans for integration with Yammer is still being figured out?
Yes, still being figured out. But you know, we know for a fact PChat is an on-prem solution that, you know, manages the ethical walls and the compliance and the DR and all those specific to on-prem. So it's really built for on-prem customers, PChat as is. For online, we expect an IW type of engagement where Yammer can play a better role. Take a question there.
You have one.
When I think about chat and I think about persistent chat and deployment in a larger organization, I get this eerie feeling of public folders all over again within my environment, where you create a lot of chat rooms that users and power users have the ability to manage. But then me as the manager of the system, how do I manage that? It may not be fair. It just might be my perception. It's not fair for them.
Yeah, someone in the audience, you want to answer that? Or?
We have a standard policy to refer to all data on a global database. So the idea is that, if it's financial companies, the idea of global database is still in the news.
Yeah.
So
isn't that kind of event purpose?
Well,
it
depends what your purpose
right,
is.
Okay.
If your purpose is a long-term storage, probably not the right place.
Right.
But if the purpose is for today's trends, today's issues, things that you know about the manager coming in the next day because they were out of the company, they were out and want to see what happened.
Perfect.
So we have two PowerShell scripts running at night. One that queries all the persistent chat room names, types them into another script, and queries all data. So that's our standard. We don't let anybody deviate from it, and it was that
okay.
So
are there APIs to migrate?
Yeah, so there's the compliant database where data can be purged there, right, for compliance reasons, and that's for e-discovery and looking up the data. Hopefully you won't need it, right, but that's that. If you turn that on, it's automatically saved there. You don't have to do anything. If you delete a room, it's not going to be deleted from there. Right, so you don't have to worry about managing that data. You just have to worry about providing the space for that data to grow, and again, depends on your compliance policy, how long you want to let it grow, et cetera. So we try to make the management of that backend seamless for you with the focus on the benefit on collaboration. So yes, there is the cost of putting the servers up and putting the databases and collecting all this data that you may or may not use, but that's the tax, really. I mean, what you do this for is to make sure that your team have an environment to collaborate and communicate and have real-time access to, whether it's project management or communication with customers, et cetera. So that's the feature itself. The back end, we try to really, you click a button and you deploy it and hopefully you wouldn't touch it again unless, if you plan DR also, you intervene in those incidences, but it's the intervention, as you saw, is really running and commanded to make sure that the sites are, the sites are up when they need to be up.
So just some feedback to Microsoft. You guys have done a great job, and I think most of us will agree, of giving us ways to collaborate, ways to communicate, ways to store information, all the way back to public folders. You've never given us really good tools for managing that data or managing that infrastructure. And in the long run, it's caused lots and lots of problems, not only for us, but for you. A lot of Office 365 migrations were stopped because companies couldn't go back and manage the public folder infrastructure the way they needed to, and that wasn't supported on Office 365 because you're trying to get away from it now. So giving us the tools to manage what you're giving us the capability to offer our customers, our users, is just as important. That's just feedback from us.
No, good feedback. Great feedback. Thank you for that. I think we should note that. We will note that and look into what it takes. So if I understand correctly, so let's say you want to migrate this data to somewhere else, or you want to, I don't
even
know.
Even going through and identifying what data is stale, what hasn't been accessed in a while, what of these chats haven't, the owners are gone from the company even. Those kinds of tools that make it easy to manage are missing.
So we do have APIs that expose this functionality for you, and you can actually have bots who are members of rooms, and these bots could actually tell you if the room is being used or not, when was the last time it's being used, who's the most active participant. You can actually also intercept all outgoing messages and filter them based on some policies or rules that you have and alter the message. So the platform, the APIs and the platform that exists on top of Pizza does provide you with some opportunities where you have to go and build up this tool and make sure that this bot is added to that chat room, or if you create an add-in as well, that add-in could do that kind of manageability for you. So we do expose all of these as APIs, but you have to build that solution on top of that.
Is there going to be a time
The monitoring server?
Yeah, where's all the reporting features that dive into, you know, the depths of all the stuff that we're talking about here, all the features associated with that? It'd be nice to have that into the monitoring server so you can run reports on whatever level of detail you're looking for. That kind of level of detail seems to be missing.
Yeah, and this is exactly what we want from you. If you can tell us the scenarios that are missing from your enterprise, the scenarios that are blockers for you, let us know about those, and then we can actually have a discussion about that. So do you know if we're integrating with the monitoring service?
Typically, an IM, whether it's PChat or just IM, is monitored the same way. So for example, if your PChat is down, your PChat server is down, you're going to see your IM reliability reports going down as well. So it is, at the server side, it's considered an IM, just like any other IM, because it's running through the link front-end server. So there's some monitoring there in terms of, you know.
So the SDK has that command line feature to run the report on the server. It just seems like that would be a perfect fit to pull in the monitoring, so you have a simple way of monitoring the server and the monitoring. If you want the room level, you know, basis for, you know, files, all that kind of stuff, all in one area. So
yeah, no, good yeah. point. We yeah. Our monitoring now is integrated with the typical IM. I am monitoring, not specific to PChat.
Yeah, question.
You said that an employee or end user can create chat.
Right.
He's not able to create it.
Right. So the.
I'm just wondering why is that?
Because. They can actually disable the room. And by disabling it, it means that, because you can by accident delete the room, and then the entire content would be purged, right? You will not have that room. You'll not be able to retrieve it. So basically what we provide you with is, if you're the room manager, then you can actually disable the room with, it's a checkbox, and then it's disabled. What that means is everyone loses access to it. If you search for it, you will not find it back at the search results. And even if you had it open, you try to send a message, it will just close the room for you. And then let's say if you did this by mistake, then you have to reach out to the IT admin to enable it for you. So you cannot delete it just because it's another level of protection.
That, so are you enabling that through the control panel or through PowerShell?
Yes, there's a PowerShell. There's a PowerShell commandlet, yes, that you ask the IT admin, you tell them which room it is, and they run a commandlet that just brings it back. And once it comes back, it has everything in it, so you do not lose any of the content, the members, the membership, the name, description, security settings, everything is preserved for you, unless it's deleted. Once the IT admin deletes it, then you lose the room.
So if the manager is gone and new user needs to be added, it can be only added to the
link admin, right? Yes, only the room manager could add or remove participants from the room or add another manager. So if the room manager is off on vacation and the new person is hired, they want to join the room, they cannot actually join the room.
And what kind of permission does PChat mean? Is it common to add just help desk or service desk to the room?
It depends on the person. I believe so. If you call help desk and that help desk person has privileges to modify the control panel or the... No, they will. So if you add the help desk to as a manager of this room, the only thing they could do is add remove.
I'm just talking PChat administrators on the
on the link server level. Yes, then they will have full capabilities.
They have full access.
Yes, they have full access.
Delete
the
room. Right, in the PChat. Yes. So with the PChat configuration, let's say who the administrators are, and those can delete the room, for example, re-enable it, etc. You had a question?
How are you saying that companies that are employing this kind of large number of these chat rooms out there, are they organizing them out there by a naming standard? And how are they doing so that people can find it and at least try to organize? Because what we've just seen is just a flat listing. You don't have anything around, you call it categories, but you don't have anything around topics or stuff like that. Most companies do a naming standard for them, names of the rooms to identify them?
It's actually been, there's no standard for that. We haven't seen any standard in other companies who are doing it. At Microsoft also, it depends on the team. So some teams use a standard, some don't. And even if there's a lot of rooms that usually you're not a member of a lot of rooms. So the only set of rooms that you will see in your link client is the ones that you are actually add as a member to. So there is the member of list where you see all the rooms that you've been invited to, and then you have the followed list, which is a subset of that. And these are the rooms that you've acknowledged, yes, I want to follow that. And it's slightly a smaller set of rooms, but I agree with you. There is no naming convention. You just see them out there flat. You have to know, you have a better description, better title for that is the way to go. But each company can actually specify their naming convention if you want, but there's no way to enforce it.
So if your link admin console mm-hmm. have a tool that you can create an ontology or a taxonomy so that you can create your, each customer can implement their own policies that way, have a tool to manage it to this point.
No. We do not have that. So people, just to make sure. But they can only invite people who belong to the category to which this room belongs. So if let's say a person A, B, and C belong to category X, and category X is part of that room, then you can invite them, yes. But you cannot invite someone who does not belong to that category. This is the ethical walls that we talked about. So
we can set it up that way too.
Yeah, well, that wasn't our experience. Our experience was if you authorize somebody from VChat, they have the capability. And if you didn't authorize that gentleman, if that room manager invited him,
pull him. Make sure that your categories are defined correctly and they have the right permissions. Maybe that's the. Something that to investigate. I know there was a few questions on the escalating PChat to a conference during that slide. A few people
I know
raised
Paul had a question.
So you can actually create a bot on the room that would actually filter that. But you have to create that yourself. And that bot will be running. It's a bot or an add-in. It will be running on that room, intercepting all incoming messages. You will tell it which ones are sensitive and if they should let the message go out or notify the user that this is not going to be delivered. So you can do that, yes. You can do message filtering. You can, sorry, hear that.
SharePoint links.
Yes.
Instead of just dragging and dropping your documents, actually just give the links in the room itself, point to that concept in SharePoint.
You mean to extend it, to see? So if you put the URL inside the chat room, it will just appear as a URL. So that it appears as an extension, it has to be set up on the admin. So you have to call the admin, let them know that you want this SharePoint URL to be part of an add-in. And then when you create that room, you have to select that add-in. And then everyone will be able to see that URL and interact with it. But if you just drag and drop URLs inside the chat experience inside the room, then it will appear as is, as a URL. And to that point, let's say if you have an add-in and it's a SharePoint or a site or any other site that requires security permissions, then it will take your link credentials and use them to access that site. So let's say if someone does not have access to that site in SharePoint, even if it's an add-in, it will says access denied, contact your admin to access that. So there's that level of protection as well.
Just a quick follow-up on
Yes. Not the manager, the IT admin. So the manager, it has to be the IT admin. You contact the IT admin, you tell them which message you want to be deleted, and they will delete it from there. And then in the history, you will see a message has been deleted. You will see that type of logging.
Maximum participant. There's a maximum update for the presence of the participant.
No, there's not.
There is no special SKU for PChat. It comes with standard link, and on the server side, you need to deploy PChat.
So it's part of your link license. It's part of the link license. You don't have to pay extra to.
Standard link license.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So if in the SKU that you purchased it has PChat as part of it, then you can deploy it. And people and enable it to your clients, and you don't have to pay license fees for that. Any other questions?
Say low latency. What do you mean?
Well, if the data centers are located in places next to each other, New York and New Jersey is an example. Both will work. It's just the recommended topology is, you know, if you have such deployment and in a low latency, you should put two FEs, you know, in each location versus put all your FEs in one location. Just because, you know, that way you make the integration more the DR story. More viable that way. I mean, it's a recommended topology. If, let's say, you have a low latency and you put all your boxes in one data center, that should work too as well.
But that didn't explain what is low latency.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again,
there is no design guide for that?
There is no specific, numbers for that. Right.
Okay.
So, and it's also comparative to low latency and high latency. So, if you have New York and New Jersey and Chicago, right, that makes low latency and high latency kind of examples. I mean, the example is relative to if you have closer data centers versus further ones, for the closer ones, put it that way. For the further ones, put it in the other reference topology.
You know, distances in Europe is a little smaller than here in the U.S., so.
Yeah.
But I guess there's nothing.
There's nothing defined there, right? It's just a reference.
More questions?
Any other questions? I want to remind you that there is a link to leave feedback, so please leave us feedback if you have any, or you know, if you have additional questions. We are here from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ask the Expert event, so Jason and I will be there today, 5 to 7. We'll be happy to drill down on more details, and I'd like to hear from every one of you. I really would. We would love to hear more input, see what pain points you have, recommendations for features, all that stuff is essential for us to help us plan for the next innovation. Yes.
Thank you.